Solid Rock kids can go to class. And we are going to be doing an application message this morning. Haven't done one in a while, and that's what the chairs are about. So we'll be doing something with them a little later. Just give you a heads up. We want to look at Mark chapter 12, verse 30-31. This is our foundation scripture for who we are as a church. And it's an introduction to our topic this morning. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so I've taught about this already. I've taught it a few times. And what the part we want to focus on today is the second part: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the love we're talking about here is agape. And you've heard many messages about this. So today is a lot of as a reminder of what we're called to. And so just some things about the definition of the word agape. It's basically treating others as being valuable. And I guess that's self-explanatory. He says that it can be known only from the actions it prompts. In other words, as you act, it's an indication of whether we're operating in love, whether we're operating in God's love. How are we treating other people? It's not based on emotions, but it's based on a choice. So it's not about, how I'm doing today, how I feel today, whether I'm going to love my neighbor or not. It's a choice. It does not always run with our natural inclinations. We all have our days where we don't want to be around people. We're in a bad mood for whatever reason, and we don't feel like being nice to people. But God says still love, and his love is, it's supposed to operate whether we feel like it or not, okay? It seeks the welfare of all and not just certain people. It's not just, we don't just get to love those that we like, those that we get along with, but we are called to love our neighbor. And we're going to focus today on, the scriptures we're going to be talking about is loving the brethren. So we're going to be focusing more on the aspect of loving our brothers and sisters in Christ is the perspective we're going to be coming from today, okay? And it's not based on whether the receiver deserves it. As I said, it's unconditional. We are called to love whether you're treating me nice or not, whether you are, whether I like you or not. It's not based on, whether you deserve it, whether you, whatever you're a good Christian or you're a sinful Christian. It's not based on any of that. It's unconditional, okay? And let's see, it comes out of who I am. A lot of teaching and a lot of the approach that we have taken over the years is this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, this is true. God says, God gave us a commandment, and a commandment is, it's not a legal rule that we're supposed to follow, which, that's how, for the most part, that's what we believed. If we look at a commandment, one of the definitions of commandment is it's a prescription. So in other words, if you're sick and you go to the doctor and you get a prescription, the purpose of that prescription is to improve your life, right? Anytime you get a prescription, that's the purpose of it. It's not to make things worse, it's to make things better. And so that's how God is. We talked about this before. God wants our lives to be, full of righteousness, peace, and joy. God has a wonderful life for every one of us. All the circumstances around us may not be, heaven on earth, but our lives in us and coming out of us, that's what God has for us is heaven on earth. And so that's what is available to us. So he gives us these prescriptions in the Bible. You do this and this is what you get. And so that's what love is. That's a prescription. It's called a commandment, but it's a prescription. It's, I want your life to be great. I want you to have a wonderful life. And the people that you're in relationship with, I want you to have great relationships and all this. And so the prescription is love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Amen. Okay, so we are going to go through several scriptures, and they're all going to be in 1 John. So you can just go to the book of 1 John, and then, it'll be easier for you. We're going to just go through the book of 1 John. And I have been reading 1 John now probably for a month or so. Just keep going back and reading it over and over again. It just, you know, I mean, I've read the Bible multiple times, but this time when I read it, it's just like, wow. You know, either I'd forgotten stuff or, didn't realize it was in there. And so, you know, going through this and seeing there's so many scriptures in, you know, 1 John, you know, John basically what he writes about is love. And so 1 John has a lot of scriptures about love. And so 1 John, we're going to go with 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. And we're going to go through these and pull out a little bit, and then we're going to do something with it, okay? So 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He who loves his brother abides in the light. If you go to 1 John 1:7, it talks about, you know, if we're in the light, you know, we're in fellowship with him, and then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So what does that mean? It means that when I am living my life with doing everything I know to do, and, you know, we all screw up, you know, we all sin, but my heart is after God, and that's what I'm after. You know, then we look at, you know, being in fellowship in the light, you know, in Jesus Christ, then, you know, we're, you know, anything that, the place where we're missing it, he's taken care of. So this is what we're talking about in the light. And it says abides in the light. So in other words, it's not a Sunday morning visit. It's not a, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be nice to you kind of a thing. You know, it comes out of who I am. You know, we are children of the Most High God. Jesus is light, so we are light. God is love, so we are love. And as I was meditating on this, I realized, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And so to me, I recognize that's the difference, because I know as I have been changing and my relationship with God has been getting stronger, you know, over the last few years, I noticed that it's easy for me to love people. You know, I don't get offended. It's very hard for me to take offense from anybody. It's, you know, things don't bother me. You know, I just accepting people where they are. It's relatively easy. You know, it's compared to how it was, it's easy, you know. And recognizing that, meditating on this, recognizing that the difference is that's the fruit of the Spirit. So I can either, you know, get myself to, you know, I've got to love Jess. You know, she just really irritates me, but I really love Jess, you know, and you know, force myself, okay, I have to be nice to her, and, you know, and I have to, you know, I can either do it that way because it's a commandment. So it's not like until it comes out of me the way it should that I don't have to love people. No. So first, it may be just obedience. Just like there's a lot of things, it's just obedience. You know, I may not feel like it, but the Word says this is what you do, so I'm going to do it. So it starts there. But as our relationship with God grows, and as we experience His love and grow in His love, then it becomes, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us, and that fruit, you don't have to make fruit grow. It just happens. And so I recognize that's the difference. Because when you notice that you're operating, you know, that you're operating in love, joy, peace, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit, when it's just becoming natural to you, you recognize you made a change. And it's a good change. So that's what it should be. It should be, this is who I am. You know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, you have that confession card on love. You know, we confess those things every day. This is who I am. It becomes a whole lot easier to do it when you keep reminding yourself, this is who I am, because you're recognizing, this is who I am. I'm kind. You know, I'm not rude. I see the best in people because this is who I am. And if you're a born-again child of God, whether you ever experience, you know, have ever, you know, operated in love much or not, that's who you are. It's in there, you know, like Wayne used to say, like Prego, it's in there, you know, it's whether we are going to, you know, allow it to come out, and that is involved in our relationship with God. Okay. Okay, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. That phrase, no cause for stumbling, is the same thing for offense. And I'm not sure, I don't understand the Greek enough to know as far as the way it's written. So it's either, it could be both, but it's either or. Either I don't take offense or I don't give offense. But generally, we could probably say that both is true. If I'm operating in love, I'm not going to be offensive. You know, I'm not going to offend other people. And I'm not going to be offended, okay? Okay, so, and then in him, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That word darkness is basically the definition is ignorance of divine things. In other words, you know, this person does not know what the Word of God says. This person does not know who they are in Christ. And so they're living this miserable life. They're not obeying God's commandments. They're in misery because that's part of the definition is their and the resultant misery, you know, that comes along with it. When we don't know the Word of God and we don't know what the life available to us, then most of the time our lives can be pretty miserable. Been there, did that. Even knew what the Word of God said, but was living in misery for a long time because I wasn't practicing it. You know, it was because I didn't have the relationship operating that was supposed to be operating. Okay, let's jump over 1 John 3 chapter verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness, we are righteous, right? But here it says you got to practice it. This is who you are positionally. This, I am righteous. You are righteous. But just because I am doesn't mean I'm experiencing it. Doesn't mean I'm living in righteousness. You know, once again, you know, it takes practice. Okay, so whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. What the verse I gave you in the beginning, that was back, that's, you know, and repeated in Mark, is back from, I think it's in Deuteronomy, is where the first time it was written. That is, it all comes down to that verse. Everything involved in our Christian life, everything that we are called to do, everything that we are called to be in Jesus Christ, it all comes back to that verse that I read in the beginning. If you do that, you've got it down. You've got it made, okay? And it says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. You know, we shouldn't be surprised. Because why? Because they're of the devil. They're of darkness. They're not experiencing love. They're not living in love. So don't be surprised if sinners, you know, if the people in the world don't like you. It shouldn't be a surprise at all. Should be a, you know, it should be an issue with Christians. If you're a Christian, what these scriptures are saying is, if you're a Christian, you're going to be operating in love. And if your life never changed, if you just, you know, you don't like people, you don't like, and Christians, you know, you can't stand to be around Christians, you know, you better question whether you're actually born again or not. Because according to the Word of God, if we're born again, we're supposed to be operating in love. Now, we may not get it right all the time, and that's what these scriptures are talking about. It doesn't mean you're not born again if you're not loving everybody around you. But it does mean that you've got some work to do. You know, you don't know God yet, is what we're talking about here. Okay, let's see here. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's how we know we're born again. Because I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. He who does not love his brother abides in death. In other words, we're not living in the life of God that he has available. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So it doesn't say, and we're going to look at some more scriptures, it's going to show this. It doesn't mean that you're not born again. You know, but it does mean that life is not abiding in you. You're not living in the Zoe life of God that is available to you. And there could be various reasons why you're not. Could be ignorance, could be other reasons. But it says here, you're not abiding in eternal life. By this you know love, because he laid down his life for us. How do we know? Because that's what we remind ourselves. Jesus died for us. You know, Jesus died for me. And so this is the reason why I should be loving other people. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? In other words, if I have something, I know my brother or sister is in need, they have whatever the need may be, and I keep my stuff to myself, and I am not generous, and I am not giving, then there's a problem. Because it indicates that I am not operating in love, okay? Let's see here. Let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, going around singing, you know, and remember this song, if you've been in the church a long time, you remember this song, you know, I love you with the love of the Lord. And, you know, we would sing it, and we would put the smile on our face, and we would go and hug people. And it's not, it doesn't cut it. It's not that. There has to be action. And the action doesn't have to be a big deal. You know, the action can be a smile. The action can be a hug. You know, the action could be, it depends on the situation, what the action is actually going to be. But there needs to be action. Me just telling you I love you, see, you know, the love languages and that, you know, my love language is show me. I want to see something. Which caused some problems with Wayne and I, because I was, you know, what you do indicates that you love me. Wayne's was the verbal. Wayne's was, you know, the telling, you know, you love you. So you can have some conflict in there when you have a couple who have, you know, contrasting love languages. But, you know, what the word is saying is, you know, this is who I am, and so this is what I do. Whatever I believe, that's what I'm going to act on. So if I'm actually, you know, I know that I am loved, and if I know I'm loved, then it's easy for me to love you. So if I'm not operating, if I'm not acting on it, then once again, we have some work to do, okay? And as I said, you know, this is not, none of us have it together all the time. None of us are doing it like we're supposed to be doing all the time. Okay, then 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Once again, this is a commandment. It's not, you know, it's not optional. It's not, you know, that I'm nice to my brothers and sisters, you know, when I feel like it. It's not that I talk to them when I feel like it, you know. If, you know, it's not like, you know, when I like them, that's when I love them. You know, the word says we love. This is who we are. So we love, okay? Let's see. Then 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Okay? There's some clues here. The first word is beloved. That word beloved, you know what that means? You know you're loved. So he says, if you know you're loved, you know, then this is how you're going to respond. So, you know, let us love one another, for love is of God. This is where it comes from. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So once again, here we see this again. You're born of God and you know God. There's two parts to this if we're operating in love, you know, loving the brothers. The first one is you're born again. You're born of God, okay? But then it says you also know God. So once again, it's a process. It's a journey. You know, I don't know about you guys. You know, I was born again when I was a kid, so I don't remember a whole lot of details. But I've read about people and, you know, heard, you know, seen people. Well, when they got born again, everything wonderful. They loved everybody. Now, that may have happened to some of you. I don't know or not. But then what happens? We lose that. You know, for whatever reason, you know, we lose that. We lose that just loving everyone. But that's how we're supposed to be living. This is supposed to come natural for me. And it's not the, you know, it's not the, I don't know how to say it, the, you know, the lovey-lovey, you know, just, you know, sugar-coated, you know, sugar, you know, that kind of thing. Love is not always sweet, okay? But I think you understand what I'm talking about, the difference with love. But this is who we're supposed to be, okay? It's when we know God, this is how we're going to operate, okay? Let's see here. And knows God. He who does not love does not know God. It's not that they're not born again, but they don't know God. But why? Because God is love. If you know God, you know God is love. You know that you are loved. You experience his love. As you experience his love, then it's easy for that love to come out of you and to your brothers and sisters around you. Okay? It's all intertwined. It's all, you know, over, can't think of the word I want. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Okay. Let's see. For in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Once again, just saying the same thing over and over again. In this is love. Not that we loved God. We didn't start out loving God. It started out with God loving us. But that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he sent Jesus to pay for our sins so we can have this love relationship between us. Okay? Let's see. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You know, as the video was this morning showing, you know, God, you know, Jesus did what he did because of love. God sent Jesus because of love. Did we deserve it? No, we don't deserve it. Nobody deserved it. But he loved us anyway. Do your kids always deserve, as a parent, do your kids always deserve your love? No, they don't. But you love them anyway because they're your kids. They belong to you. And it's the same thing with God. He loved us so much. We cannot figure it out. All we can do is experience it. And that's what we need to do. Once again, your other, you know, the other prayer card you have, the prayer for the congregation. So much of that in there is praying that you will experience what exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Okay. In this phrase, we might live, it says, his only begotten Son of the world, that we might live through him. That phrase means this life in its absolute fullness that Christ enjoys. In other words, God wants us to have the life that Jesus has. Once again, that's hard to fathom. How can that be? I don't know, but that's what the Word of God says. I choose to believe the Word of God, and so I am opening up myself, and I'm telling God and reminding God, this is what you said belongs to me. So I am spending time with you that you can show me. You can open my eyes. You can, you know, help me to deal with whatever I need to deal with, to repent of whatever I need to repent of, so I can experience the life that Jesus has. Because that's what belongs to me, because now I'm your child, just like Jesus is your child, and so the same life that Jesus has belongs to me. Amen. Praise God. It all comes back to love, okay? Okay, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You know, and I'm sure, you know, you've known people, maybe you know people now, that, you know, they say they love God, but, you know, they have unforgiveness, they have hatred, they have bad feelings towards someone, and yet they say they love God, and, you know, that they're just so, you know, they're just so spiritual. Well, the Word of God says you can't. If you're not loving your brother, you're not loving God. You can't do one without the other, as we're going to see the Scripture's going to tell us as some of the next ones we read here. Let's see here. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You can't have one without the other. Okay? Isn't there a song? Yeah, something along that way. Okay. Okay, and then our last scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Okay? So now this verse takes the same information but flips it around. We know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You want to know whether you're operating in love or not? Are you obeying God's commandments? God's commandments, you know, the basic commandment is the one we read in the very beginning. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, you know, your mind, everything, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So they're all intertwined. It all comes one, and to have anything else, to have righteousness, peace, joy, to have prosperity, to have health, to have anything else, to have protection, anything else, to experience anything else, it comes back to this. It comes back to love. If we're not operating in love, then don't expect to have all the other things operating in your life, because it comes back to this. But as we make progress, it's a journey. It's not like, okay, now I've got it all down. No, it's a journey. We have our up times and we have our down times. But it says in Proverbs, you know, the righteous man, though he falls seven times, he keeps getting back up. And as long as we keep getting back up and, you know, repent, we recognize, you know, we put off what doesn't belong to us. We repent of what we recognize is not of God, and we, you know, we go on again. We apologize if we need to apologize. We walk in forgiveness. You know, we open ourselves up to experiencing God's love. We're spending time with him just to experience his love, just to be with him and love him and have him, you know, love us. As long as we're on the right road, we're going to keep moving forward. Amen? Praise God.